the word we're going to consider. We're going to look at Romans this morning. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 8 through to verse 17. My text later on will be verse 16. In my version, I'm going to read from the NLT. My version, it's headed, God's Good News. Paul is writing from Rome, or to the Romans. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart, by spreading the good news about his Son. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow stronger in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world to be educated, and to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Pray that God would bless that reading and our understanding of it. It is through faith that a righteous person has life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the centre of all that we do. We're going to sing it this morning. You probably, we notice in Ross, or certainly we have over the last few years, that because we have lots of different preachers, we have lots of different ways in which people will stand at the front and preach. And we all have our different styles. And I'm sure Ken has a distinctive style when he preaches. And I preach in a certain way. And different people speak in completely different ways. And so you get an assortment. But you get to know, don't you, how people speak. And we're going to look at how Paul sort of approaches this subject this morning. But it's interesting that people do often take on ways of speaking from the cultures that they're in and the situations that they find themselves in. I know one of my kids, and in the middle of a conversation at one stage, just made the comment, he said, "Oh, that's somewhat suboptimal." Okay? To which the other two boys said, "That's so Oxford," because he went to Oxford. And every time he says something, they'll go, "Oh, that's so Oxford. We know where you've been because that's how they talk." Okay? Paul has a way, when he wants to make a point, he often uses a double negative to make that point, to really show that he really means something. When Paul was writing to the Galatians, he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I glory in it." Well, he did glory in it, But he put it in that way to make a point. And it's the same here this morning. In one of the other versions, verse 16 starts, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Now he could have said, "I'm proud of the gospel." But the way he spoke, he said, "I'm not ashamed." He was really, in a way, colouring, putting his flag on the mast, wasn't he? "I'm not ashamed of it." He was really emphasising that actually this really meant something to him. He wanted the flag on the top of that flagpole to show that Christ was important. How about you? How about me? Do we nail our colours to the mast? It's interesting, on the camp, the SU camp that I was doing, boys were learning all the basic skills of lighting fires and chopping wood and first aid and putting flagpoles up. And actually, if they passed lots of skills, they were able to put up a flagpole, and then if everybody in their group passed a particular skill, they got a flag, and they'd fly the flag. And actually it was, okay, which cabin can have the most flags on their flagpole? Because actually it means something. You to look up and see, this is, and you know, we won a couple of the big games and the crazy sports, and so we got the big scripture and flag that we could fly for a day. And people said, yeah. Do we nail our faith to the flag? When people look at us, is that what they see? When people came onto our site, if they did, and they could see flagpoles, they were drawn to the big flag at the top of the flagpole. When people come into this building, when people come into contact with you, do they see Christ at the centre? Jesus. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. And my challenge to us this morning is, are we? Where do we stand in relation to the gospel? It's interesting. Beginning of what we read, Paul says to the Romans, he's not been there, "Let me say first, I thank my God through Jesus for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world." Now, I'm not saying that the faith of the Christians in Ross or the faith of the Christians in Lidbrook is going to be talked about all over the world. But do people of Ross, do people of Lidbrook know that actually Christ is central to all that we are and what we do? And my challenge and our challenge this morning is from Paul to say, I am not ashamed. Actually, are there times when we might think, well, actually, probably I ought to say something, but I don't because, well, it might make life a little bit difficult for me. Paul's saying you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. Now, one of the other reasons he puts it as a double negative, saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, if you were to remember when he's writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, it says, Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. There were people in the church who were ashamed and didn't really want to associate themselves. They were going along, they had their faith. But actually, you know, Paul, well, he was, people knew about him. Did they want to associate themselves with him? Paul said, there's a chap called Onesiphorus, and he said, Paul makes a point of saying, he sought me diligently, he found me, and he often refreshed me, and he wasn't ashamed of my chain. He wasn't ashamed to associate himself with a follower of Christ. Are we sometimes ashamed? Do we sometimes pretend that we're not involved? If people say, oh, the church, they're doing that again. What is our response. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Well, what context? It's always important, we say, to look at the context when we're looking at God's word and what Paul has said here. So what has Paul been through before making this assertion that he isn't ashamed, that he's really 100% behind the gospel? Was he a young Christian who'd just been converted, who knew nothing of what it was like to live as a Christian in, or as a follower of Christ, in a world where the majority of people don't follow Christ? Had he been sheltered from the views of the world? Well, look at what he'd been through. He'd been imprisoned in Philippi because of his preaching and his dedication for Christ. He'd been imprisoned in Philippi. He'd been chased out of Thessalonica. He'd been smuggled out of Berea. He'd been laughed at in Athens. And in Corinth, his message was foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. He had put himself out there and was prepared to stand up for the gospel, and he'd been through an awful lot. He'd been imprisoned, he'd run away, and smuggled out. What's our situation? Have we been through this type of treatment for the gospel? He'd been through all of that, and he could still say, I'm not ashamed. Sometimes we shy away from standing up for the good news because we think, oh gosh, that could make life a bit difficult. Look at what Paul went through, and he was still able to say, you know what? This is the driving force behind my life. So, if he said he is not ashamed of the gospel, or in my version, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ, why not? And I've got four reasons why he wasn't ashamed, and I think four reasons why we shouldn't be ashamed of the good news, the gospel. The word gospel itself, its reference to salvation, the fact that it is God's power, and also that it's a gospel for all, for everyone. The word gospel means good news. It's glad tidings. It's news that we should want to share with people because it's the most wonderful message that has ever been heard. And this is the good news. And we read it in earlier verses in Romans chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. The gospel, the good news that we have to share, is Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus who needs to be the center of all that we do. As a people, we fall short from the standards that God has set. There's nothing that we can do to attain the standards to be able to be with God forever. And yet God wanted a relationship with us, and God has done something. God has sent his son. God's son died on that cross, took the punishment of our sins. He defeated death by rising again. And we read that all those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God has done an incredible thing. we need to be sharing that good news. Because not only is the word gospel good news, it's the salvation for those who believe. At the time Paul was writing, salvation was one of the things that the philosophers were really trying to grapple with. One of the great philosophers of the time said that his lecture room was the hospital for the sick soul, as people were trying to find out salvation. What can we do? What can we do to... And it's not about what we can do. It's about what God has done and our response to that. They were looking for salvation from physical illness. Well, God can provide physically. Remember that time when the lady wanted to touch Jesus' cloak? If only I could touch his cloak, I would be healed. God isn't necessarily going to heal us, but God is going to comfort us. Matthew 8, the disciples were in a storm in a boat. Salvation from danger. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. The good news doesn't give us a life free of perils and dangers. But what trusting God gives us is a security that there is somebody looking after us in all that we do. We're saved from a crooked and perverse generation. Acts chapter 2, Peter said to the people, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves from a generation where I is at the centre. Because where I is at the centre, everybody's looking out for themselves. And you say, no, that's not what it's all about. Salvation. Salvation from sin. Christian salvation liberates us from the tyranny of sin. And above all, salvation from the wrath of God. In Romans 5, since we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Paul's saying, God has saved you. His wrath is there, but if he saved you, how much more is he going to save you from that wrath? Because actually Jesus has already paid the price. He isn't ashamed of it because it is the salvation. 1 Peter writes, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The verses before that, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive that salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day. Wow, we've got an awesome God. Are we going to live our lives that reflect what God has got prepared for us and what God has done and what God wants us to do? He's also not ashamed of the good news of Jesus because it is the power of God. The gospel is God's power unto salvation. It's a powerful action on behalf of God, not of man. It's not about the power of God. If the gospel was about the power of God, it would be leaving it up to us. But it's not. It's not God telling us what we have to do. It's about the power of God. He's saying that gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ is the way of saving us. It is Jesus Christ is the answer for the that hymn. Jesus, or the chorus, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the answer. The gospel is the great power. Romans, there's so much in Romans. Romans chapter 8, we see that the good news that Jesus is the electing power of God, the call of God, the power of God's justification, the power that regenerates man, the power whereby God sanctifies us and God glorifies us. God does everything through the person of Jesus Christ. It is effective. We have an effective solution for all people to enable them to be brought back into the presence of God. My question to us is, do we keep it to ourselves or do we tell others? And that's Paul's challenge. He's saying, look, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ, whatever it takes. Because, number one, they need to know. Number two, it's what God wants me to do. And number three, God is with me and he's going to protect me and he's going to have his arms around me. And ultimately, I'm going to be with him forever. In some ways, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, can be likened to a prescription. If you're ill, you go to the doctor. The doctor will then diagnose, well, hopefully will diagnose the trouble and write you a prescription. Right. The fact that you have the prescription doesn't cure you. Actually, you have to do something with that prescription. It either has to go electronically or you take a piece of paper to a pharmacy and it is dispensed. And they go, here we are. Here is the medication that is going to help cure you. Now, even at this stage, it's not going to work, is it? Because you haven't actually taken the medication. The gospel, Jesus, the good news, and our job is to tell people that this good news, this prescription, it's been dispensed because it's been dispensed by Christ on the cross. And it's there ready for people to take. Are we telling them? Just take it. Take, see that the Lord is good. Are we going to keep the good news to ourselves? Because the good news, and the other reason he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, was that it's not elitist. It's not just for the educated. It's not just for the Jew. It's for the whole world. It's for everyone, because it's God's power. Without it, the Gentiles were complete failures. Without it, the Jews were complete failures. Without Jesus Christ, none of us can measure up to God. No man can save himself. But we can be saved because of Jesus. The good news, the gospel, was first preached to the Jews. Some people thought it was for the Gentiles only, and that the Jews didn't need it, but we know from Paul in chapters 2 and 3 that the Jews need the gospel just as much as the Gentiles, because we all fall short. And there's one answer that's universal. So it doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, how educated we are, who we come into contact with, because all people that we come into contact with are in the same need. And the answer is the same for everybody. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's not because of upbringing. Just because you've come to church doesn't mean that you will be saved. You need to take and realise that the prescription has been dispensed, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross. And that actually if you believe in him, you will have everlasting life. Paul wasn't ashamed to nail his colours to the mast. In camp, the boys really wanted to have their flags on their masts because it stood out and it made a point. Look at what we've done. Do we want to have on our hearts and people looking at us and going, look at what Andrew's done? Or do they want to say, well, look at me and say, look, this is what Jesus has done. We mustn't be ashamed. We need to stand up for Christ. God doesn't promise that it's going to be easy. And we see from Paul, now I'm not saying that we should all get into situations where we're going to be imprisoned or chased out of Lidbrook or chased out of Ross. But actually sometimes standing up can be difficult because it could mean that we lose some friends. But if we do it because Christ is at the centre, we shouldn't be ashamed. So it's a challenge for us. Go back to those first verses in verse 8. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus for all of you because your faith in him is being talked about over all the world. Do people really know? In Ross, do people know that there's a Baptist church in the middle of the high street? But do they really know who we are? And that's our challenge as a church, as to how we let the people of Ross know the good news of Jesus. Because gone are the days when people will just walk into church. We have to find ways of interacting and sharing and saying, look, you know, we are from the church and we're not ashamed of it. We're going to stand up for it, but we want to help you. And my challenge to you this morning is, are you sticking firm? Am I sticking firm to God's word? Am I serving Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour? Because if he's that important to me, I mustn't keep it to myself. And actually, I need to be true to my principles. And that can be hard. And we all fall short. But I just pray that God would help us to stand up for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.